Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, as far as the tight end stuff, I mean, on the flip side, you mentioned Kelce, but on the flip side, if there was a concern defensively right now, it is 2 weeks into the season. Isaiah Likely, super athletic. I thought, okay, that's
he'll take advantage.
That's something that you're not going to see very often. Well, Drew Sample on the first drive, and then really it was Gesicki the rest of the game, but their tight ends carved the Chiefs up. And that has happened now, and now you're going to face Kyle Pitts on Sunday?
I don't think it matters the tight end right now. I'll just be – because it wasn't just Gesicki.
What's the numbers right now on tight
Sample
ends against the Chiefs?
Sample and Eric All Jr. was getting things done. Like, every single tight end ate them up in that game. I think Nick Bolton was fine, I guess, in that game. I still didn't think he played particularly well. I think I was most frustrated by letting Joe Burrow stand you up for a minute long enough for the offensive lineman to come pushing everybody in the back and get the first down. I think he could stood up by Joe Burrow, but it's fine. He wasn't great in coverage, but that's not his strength. What the hell happened to Justin Reed in this game? I understand he was coming in and out with the injuries and those things.
Yeah.
He was asked about his – both hands were banged up, I think. Yeah.
So I'm not saying – and that, of course, did happen, and that was certainly a factor in it. But he was getting – like, a tight end, Gesicki dropped a pass that would have been for another 20 on him. So Gesicki dropped a pass. He fell down on the big gain on the very first drive of the game. He was getting cooked all night by tight ends. The bigger concern for me is – I thought they had some safeties to maybe cover this, and that's what it seemed like they rotated their plan to. Hey, maybe we don't just make Nick Bolton cover every tight end that comes out of the backfield, and instead they switched it over to Justin Reed. It did not go better. It went equally as bad, maybe worse. And so that part really stinks. It's currently their defensive Achilles heel. I will say, though, they didn't really give up that much points for an offense to put them in a bad spot multiple times. I didn't think, outside of that, since he couldn't run the ball, Ja'Marr Chase didn't exist. They got plenty of pressure on the quarterback. It was just tight ends. If that's the only problem, I don't know. I'd probably sort that out.
Well, because once again, we saw, as we expect now from Chris Jones, but you can double team him. Not a sure thing that the double team's working, to say the least. Early on in that game,
he got after him.
Chris Jones went right through the double team.
And Cordell Volson struggled.
And it wasn't a problem for him. I mean, Chris Jones looks great here early going. I know it's not like he has a ridiculous sack total or anything like we've seen from some other guys, but he is such a disruptor. Even the sack, I guess, would have been Karloftis got in the second half. It was because Chris Jones kind of collapsed the pocket, and it allowed Karloftis to get the sack, which we've said time and time again.
Hey, be the cleanup guy. Who cares? Like, if you're Karloftis, you're not complaining about cleanup sacks, because Chris Jones has been an absolute forced to be reckoned with for the first two games of the season.
Got a sack and a half, but he's been better than that, if that makes sense.
Oh, my. So much. Are you kidding? So much better than that. The sacks are not telling a story on Chris Jones.
Yep.
Chris Jones is a one-man wrecking crew. Like, if you watch Trey Hendrickson, Cincinnati is saying the same thing, I'm sure, on Cincinnati radio this morning. Like, the hell are we supposed to do about that guy? Baltimore was definitely saying that after their game. But yeah, they can't guard tight ends. I'll be the first to admit, and it's still too early to know for sure, maybe I underestimated the loss of Willie Gay Jr. in coverage. I thought they could cover it. I thought between safeties and other athletic linebackers like Chanel, they would find a way to figure out the coverage gaps that Willie Gay was doing for this team really well last year in a Super Bowl winning year. Because right now, his absence is being felt more than L'Jarius Sneed's somehow. Willie Gay's coverage ability against tight ends is noticed in these first two games because they haven't been able to guard anybody.
I saw Willie Gay front and center there at the Saints locker room because they of course have a big upset against the Cowboys, and we all know he has a huge personality, right? Big energy guy. That's one thing was fun here in Kansas City for him. And front and center in the Saints locker room celebration yesterday on Instagram Live or whatever, of course, was Willie Gay. So they definitely missed that. And I think it's something to watch. I mean, the tight ends have been problematic. The one thing I wonder, how many times we mentioned with Spags' defense as the season progresses, right? As games progress, usually even within them, They typically make adjustments and get better. And so let's fast forward here in a couple weeks and see if the tight ends are still a problem. Or are we going to be sitting here in week seven and say, hey, remember when we were the first 2 weeks of the season talking about how tight ends were getting the best of the Chiefs? Let's see what the pivot, let's see what the adjustment is 2 weeks now of tight ends getting the best of the Chiefs. I also wonder a little bit, like, hey, it's frustrating, I think, as a fan to see tight ends wide open kind of here, 10 yards, 10 yards, 10 yards. When you get down towards the red zone, though, they were able to buckle down. So I'll be curious to see over the next couple weeks what that does.
Ironically, week seven, they face the 49ers, who have George Kittle. To give you some of the tight end rundowns, Kyle Pitts, they have next. I don't know who the Chargers tight end is, sorry. Taysom Hill, Saints.
Parnum.
Kittle.
I don't remember.
Kittle and Bowers. Right, and Bowers / Mayer. So, I mean, they're going to go up against some good tight ends.
Yeah, we'll see. The text line points out the thing that we know, which is the Chiefs are very good, and Spags, under Spags, at making adjustments.
Yep.
If this is their problem now, I can't look you straight in the face, go and be like, you know what? I don't think Spags will ever figure out how to guard tight ends. Something tells me they'll figure it out. By the time week 17 rolls around, they will have decided on a coverage that they can use most of the time, even if the personnel doesn't align. Do I think tight ends is what will get picked on them the most? Do I think if you have a fantasy football team and you got a backup tight end and they're going against the Chiefs, you should start them? Yeah, probably. Do I think it's going to cost them games? No. Not currently, or at least by the end of the year, I certainly don't think it will.
But I'll say Isaiah Likely is the exception because there was missed tackles on the long touchdown that he had, we know, on that Thursday night game a week ago. Generally speaking, the tight end's usually not capable of the 60-yard touchdown that Ja'Marr Chase could be capable of, that Drake London, I guess, for this week, if we want to use him as an example, that later on in the year, a Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk is. I guess if I'm picking my poison, would I rather us be sitting here saying, man, the corners have had no answer for the wide receivers, or would I rather be saying, hey, the tight ends are getting the best of them in the middle of the field? I'll take the tight end issue that I hope they can correct versus, man, yeah, the wide receivers are just burning all the corners. That has not been the case.
It was really interesting, yeah, too. It wasn't even Justin Reed either. Drew Tranquil missed a tackle in the backfield on Mike Kosicki. Quinn Cook had a moment where...
I don't even know who the hell that is.
Or Cook. Who's that?
Brandon Cook?
Brian.
Oh, Brian. Oh, sorry. Brian Cook. Sorry. I was like, Quinn Cook. I was confused.
Quinn Cook. I was thinking the NBA. Sorry.
Got it.
Brian Cook lost Kosicki as well. I mean,
they had a bad game.
Mike Kosicki's not Isaiah Likely, but he's one of the more athletic tight ends where you can compare Kyle Pitts maybe to him. I don't know if George Kittle fits athleticism. Brock Bowers faces athleticism. So when facing the athletic tight end, that'll be interesting to see that storyline where they go through Pitts, Bowers in particular with the Raiders.
I think they'll solve it eventually. I think a lot of it is just it is their weakness right now on defense. But I would also say at the moment, it's their only weakness. Like, I mean, is there a different weakness I'm missing? Like, they're not getting beat up in the run game. They're not getting beat up by opposing wide receivers.
2 weeks in,
they're getting pressure.
One of the biggest adjustments so far 2 weeks in compared to a struggle where they were one of the bottom eight teams against the run, I think it was, yards per carry, has been what you just said. I mean, against the run, they've got up against Derrick Henry, and then now look, Chase Brown and Zach Moss, not exactly the best running back room in football by any means, but still, they have done a nice job against the run in the early going. They're going to go up against Bijan Robinson coming up on Sunday. Yeah. Let's see what the Falcons look like tonight. They're playing the Eagles.
Kamara coming up too.
Yeah. So we'll see. They'll have some bigger tests along the way, but right now it looks early on, you know, where they're worse against tight ends 2 weeks in, they're better against the run 2 weeks in. My guess is it balances out as the season goes on.
Yeah, I would think so. But again, teams are going to, and it also depends on, I think teams have come out swinging a little bit more, thinking they were going to have to play more keep up with the Chiefs this year. I think teams had gone to the ground over the last couple of years against Kansas City because they could, because they knew that this was going to be a lower scoring affair in which this rock fight will be a part of versus, you know, it kind of varies a little bit based on where they are scoring wise. And now with no Hollywood Brown and no Isaiah Pacheco, teams might start going to the ground more against Kansas City. But also, like, teams keep making the same mistake. I don't understand why the Ravens didn't run a little bit more. Cincinnati tried, but they keep using the worst of the two running backs. Just bad decision-making.
Yeah.
Chase Brown is averaging, like, 8 yards a carry this year, and they let him touch it four times a game. And they just let Zach Moss's old ass run instead. Some teams just aren't good at making the decisions that come along with that. So some teams are going to forget to use their tight end, too, and be like, oh, you know what? Looking back on it, I wonder if using our tight end would have helped. I think it'll get solved by the end of the year.